B-Pod Studios.
Comic books, video games, anime, sci-fi. If you've been made fun of for it, we're probably going to talk about it.
Get those nerds!
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 You're listening to Nerd Radio.
All right, we are, unlike the mail, we are here for you this week.
Oh, ooh, look at that dig.
It's Nerd Radio.
Oh, my God. I start a war with the USPS.
Yeah. That's right. Wherever you get your podcast, whether you're on the B-Pod Studios Network or on your iTunes or wherever you get it, we're happy to have you here on this cold, cold Wednesday. How the heck are you, Al Beck? How the heck are you, James?
Not too bad. A little chilly.
That's what I was going to say. Well, He beat me to it.
He beat me to it, yeah.
I'm chilly, Al. You can't be chilly, too.
Okay, no, you got to be something else.
How about frigid?
That seems much worse.
Frigid. I mean, I think it's one step below chilly.
Yeah.
James, you'll be happy to know that I wore the Optimus Prime hat you gave me last year.
Oh, did you?
Around this time, yeah.
Perfect.
Coming in, I was like, man, I need to bust out
with the mouthpiece attachment too.
Oh yeah,
you look at like full Optimus Prime.
Yeah, nice. Exactly.
I love it.
Got the visor going on and everything. It was.
Yeah, I remember seeing that. Just had to wait. I was waiting on the Geek app for that price to drop. I'm like, okay, now I can buy it.
I don't remember if I asked you this last week. You saw the Ghostbusters teaser, right?
You know what? I've refused to watch it. Yeah. I don't.
Well, you're not missing much, but just you know that they're making Ghostbusters.
Yeah, I know. We talked about it a little bit on the morning show, and my thoughts like, I don't want to get my heart broken again.
Yeah,
it already happened once with the last remake, which I thought they did a great job with. I was happy with. I was on board once they ended the movie. And there's a bit of a little ending to allude that there's going to be more to come.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So I was excited to see what's going to happen with that. And then worldwide failure at the box office, and they canceled all that. And now they want to do it again with a new cast or whatever.
Well, they're supposed to be going with the old guys. Like, there was a picture of Bill Murray now.
Yeah, but are they going to be the main protagonists in the story? I doubt it. It's going to be one of their kids.
Right.
I feel like there's no chance in hell. I don't want to watch Grandpa's bust ghosts.
No, you don't want to watch Grandpa Busters?
No, Busters, you know?
Yeah, that was going to be my question. I guess you kind of answered it because you said you liked the last
movie.
Yeah,
I thought it was great. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed it, and I get torn a new one every time I say anything about that movie being good or enjoyable.
Yeah, well, Chuck's a fan, you know? Too.
I am, too.
Yeah. I thought it was great with the female cast, because I think they took the female cast and they applied a lot of the stuff from the real Ghostbusters cartoon and made it into a live-action movie, and I felt like that's what it was. Yeah. Melissa McCarthy was the same as, the Ray character from the cartoon.
All the characters were, a combination of two of the original Ghostbusters.
Yeah, and I thought that was awesome. Yeah. And
Kate McKinnon was obviously the ego.
Yeah,
but she was also, a little bit Venkman.
Yeah.
I love Kate McKinnon.
But she was totally Egon.
She's amazing.
Kate McKinnon's
so
good.
Yeah, she's awesome. She's totally Egon from the real Ghostbusters. Yeah. The hair, the glasses, everything about the Egon character in the real Ghostbusters cartoon, that's what she embodied in the movie, and I loved it.
Yeah.
I thought it was great. Some of the stuff, people are like, it's the same story, blah, blah, blah. But I still enjoyed it, and I thought that was a great way to pay homage to the original by still having it very similar to, the Stay Puft.
Yeah, that's kind of how I felt about Force Awakens. People, when I was like, oh, I like that movie. Like, well, it's just Empire Strikes Back again or New Hope again.
Yeah,
but
it's still different.
Yeah.
It was still enjoyable.
Yeah, exactly.
It was, so now with this one, I just feel like you guys already tried it once. Okay. What's the definition of insanity? You keep trying to do the same thing over and over again with the same results.
According to Albert Einstein. Yeah. Yeah.
Learn from the last one.
Yeah.
I don't know. And I just feel like they're going to get, if I watch the trailer, I'm going to get all excited and get all hyped up. And I'm going to be so excited and then only to be let down.
Yeah, well, the teaser didn't, like I said, you didn't see any of the actors or anything. You just saw the car and it's in this barn like somebody, bought the car or something like that and stuck it away. But you hear the proton packs in there and you see
start
some lights.
Start to fire up, okay.
Yeah, like almost those are possessed by ghosts or something like that. So.
Yeah, and I know they said Bill Murray, everybody that's still around is all in, but how all in is Bill Murray really?
That's true.
Because he's been so adamantly opposed to doing anything else with the Ghostbusters for the last however many years. He doesn't need the cash.
He's probably just in so he can troll the thing. I mean, did we all see the video of him? I think it was at that golf thing. And somebody, he was wearing these overalls and a newscast spotted him. And hey, Bill, you want to go on TV with us? He goes, yeah, sure. And they sat there and he stood next to the newscaster for however many minutes waiting for them to get the signal that they go live. And he's waiting, and then the newscaster gets the, all right, we're on you. He goes, all right, I'm here with Bill Murray. And then Bill Murray turned and walked away. And he waited. He waited for it to be live on TV, and he just left.
I
and
love
just
it.
Disappeared into the crowd. So this guy's sitting there on TV going, and it wasn't a taped spot either. It was live, so there was nothing they could do about it.
I guess Bill's got to go take his next shot.
Yeah. I love it. Oh, my God.
There's nothing better than messing with the live news.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably why there's so many people at the local station that do not like me.
Well,
I'm trying to get my man thong on. I'm saying inappropriate things during their little fancy talk show they try to do. So, there's nothing funner than messing with the local news.
What were they expecting?
News.
I mean,
I not only did that interview back in the day because we had James from Riff trending.
Yeah.
But the trending image with that James from Riff hashtag was me modeling a thong, like a man thong in a pool. So I was like, oh, we're going to show my picture on the news? Yes, I will do this interview. Yeah. Let me know what you want. And then I started talking about my genitals and the fabrics that touch them when I'm in my bathing suit. And
they were upset because you said the word penis, which is the catchphrase of the show that you were there because of. Like, I don't know what they were expecting.
Some intern got fired that day, I'm sure of it. Yeah. Because the intern was like, we know who else is trending besides Alex from Target? James from Riff. We have a local connection to this nationally trending story. Let's get him on the air. Listen to the show. These guys are great. They're funny. They're totally professional. And then I'm all like, penis, penis, penis.
And they're like, we're never listening to that kid again.
Yeah.
So funny.
Never again.
And it also bugs me a little bit because I feel like local news anchors treat radio people like we're the degenerates of the media. Like,
I was about to ask, it's funny that you have the
well, we sort of are the degenerates of the media.
Well, I disagree.
This particular room, perhaps.
Yeah.
But it's because we're also in a setting where, like, we have to be very careful with the public.
Yeah.
Like not trolling us.
Yeah.
You know, like, you got to have your finger on, like, the censor button.
Yeah, you got to be ready to take a phone call. You know, somebody says anything inappropriate.
Right, exactly. So, for me, I always, when I see somebody getting messed with on, like, the news or something like that, I'm like, oh, come on. I feel like a professional courtesy, like, oh, come on. Like, I would be really upset if somebody was doing that to me. I don't want them to.
Yeah, like, I love it, because to me, that's just an opportunity to, like, who's going to out-crazy? Yeah. You going to out-crazy me?
Yeah.
I don't think so. Or that just shows, like, how much your ability to maintain control of the situation.
Yeah.
So, like, if somebody, if I used to do man on the street stuff, if somebody starts acting crazy, well, guess what? I'm going to take control of the situation, and you're not going to talk anymore. I'm going to deflect. Yeah. I'm going to go over here, do something else.
That's true. That's truly the lesson learned here is how much control of the situation I have. And if you listen to the show, you know it's none.
None. Yeah. None at all. I mean,
well, you're just a button pusher, Chuck.
That's right. Yeah.
He's pushing buttons. Chuck is supposedly driving the show, and I do everything I can to derail it. But I think we've all had those moments, though. I've done a broadcast at one of those big car shows, you know, here in Detroit, an auto show or Autorama or something.
Mm-hmm.
And one year they had it set up. It was a poorly thought out. And even, our marketing director, Ken, at the time was like, we didn't think that through. But the back of, as we're broadcasting, our backs were to the like a velvet rope. And a main aisleway for people to walk.
Mm-hmm.
So there's only thing between you and walking by public is just this velvet rope. And I'm live on the air, like, hey, we're broadcasting live, Cobo Hall, come on down, blah, blah, blah. And I start getting this, like, violent tap on my shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like one of those things where it's like you can, like, stand up and interact with them. And actually, if this had happened a few years later in my career, that's probably how I would have handled it. Hey, we're broadcasting. Hang on a second. Someone really wants my attention. Hello, we're live on the radio. What do you want? But no, I had to sit there and
I can't read this
push
liner.
Through and finish what I was doing, and I just had to give me a second finger. Yep. I'm alive on the air right now. Yep. I don't know why you're tapping me on the shoulder, but that's
so. Who was it?
I don't know. I finished my break and I turned around and there was no one there. It was probably Ken. Now that I think about it, it was probably Ken all along.
Probably. Just messing with you.
Yeah.
In his fantasies, he was like, it was a very sexy, invisible woman tapping me on the shoulder, trying to get my attention to lure me into...
Very, very attractive auto show. Somebody shows the cars or something like that. It's like, oh my goodness, it's Outback.
Yeah.
This is becoming my favorite segment on the show ever. Continue.
Yeah. Oh, ooh. Well, watch out. The pleasure pad is going to be... put to good use after this segment.
Well, that seems like a good time to take a break. So we'll be back with some more Nerd Radio.
I'll be in the next room.
Make sure you check us out on the B-Pod Studios Network. It's where you can find a whole bunch of great podcasts like Meltdown's Talkin' Rock, which Al also takes part in.
That's correct.
As well as Checkpoint Radio's daily podcast. It's the B-Pod Studios Network. Nerd Radio returns.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Jake the Snake Roberts, and you're listening to Nerd Radio.
Welcome back. It's Nerd Radio all over your podcast, your B-Pod Studios Network, as well as on iTunes and Spotify and every place
you
get
podcasts.
What is it
all over Al's pusher pad we have here? Oh,
don't worry about that.
Al, use a tissue, man.
All right.
It was my break, too, damn it. I'll spend it the way I want.
We're obviously back with Al Beck and James from... from the morning show. James, you had a hell of a weekend.
Oh, I had a hell of a weekend. Yeah, man. I got my mushroom stamped the WWE Universe this weekend with my big fat face. Yeah. Well, take that, Vince McMahon.
Oh, my God.
At first, you posted on your Instagram where your seating was, and I was like, man, well, we might see him during some of the entrances or something like that, but I don't know, or something like, or, you know, I don't know how often we'll see him. But watching the Royal Rumble on Sunday, man, you were in the prime position. Every time somebody hit those turnbuckles to celebrate.
Yeah, I had my head was all over
the giant
internet.
James face was right there.
It worked out
James
really well.
James and the giant face.
So.
Yep.
I was worried about where my seats were and if I was going to be able to get on camera and all sorts of things, but I was like, we're going to give this a whirl. And the way they had the whole thing set up, typically you go to a live WWE show, like the wrestlers walk out and there's a big jumbotron behind them.
Right.
So they can play all the videos or whatever they're doing for the wrestlers' intros. All that stuff took place on the stuff you would normally watch to see the feed of what they're actually sending to the WWE network, if that makes sense. So I had no idea. Like, there was a few times I could see my head, like, in the shot. Like, when the Miz gets up to celebrate, you can almost see me, like, try to, oh, no, okay, this is the wrong way.
I got to go to the left.
Okay, there we go. Now it looks like the Miz wants to kiss me, you know? But, yeah, man, it was a blast. I was worried about even getting the signs in. I had 3 signs made.
That was my first question. Did security give you any problems whatsoever?
No, they did stop me on the way in, and they asked. They were like, hey, there's no blood or anything on the signs. And I'm thinking, blood? No. Like,
yeah.
Because I figured they're looking for AEW stuff.
Right.
I've heard they're having some issues with people wearing AEW merchandise. And
they were
like
asking people change their t-shirt.
Yeah, and I've also heard like they don't want you to have any signs that self-promote yourself. So I didn't have anything that was like at Who the F is JC or any of that kind of social media things.
Just your face.
Yeah. So I just had my giant face. And then I had a sign that says, I'm a Cena-sexual,
right.
And I had the Elias Sucks at Guitar signs.
That sounds like self-promotion to me.
Yeah, well, the Cena-sexual, I never got on camera. I only held it up a couple times. He wasn't, you know, I found out 30 minutes into going to the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
Oh, now he's not going to be there. Yeah.
Thanks, no, John. You know, I flew all the way from Detroit to Phoenix to see you.
No, see what happened.
Billed to be there.
He heard the last time you were at Raw, he heard how dangerous it would be to be in the same building with you. And he's like, well, I can't show up.
You think that's what happened?
I can't show up to the Royal Rumble.
That would be awesome.
That would be sweet if he found out. He's like, yeah, I heard there was some weird fan coming.
Right, some weird fan from Detroit is probably going
to
be here.
No, we know he had to go film a movie or whatever. Or he's injured. You know, we got to keep the champ healthy, so.
Right.
So I was like worried, and
I did see your Elias sign, but I could not. All I could see was Elias and Sucks.
Yeah, so you can read. Yeah, because they shine those real bright red lights. I think to drown that kind of stuff out. Like
right.
The red light shining on the crowd really muffles like what's there.
I hope that there is somebody who like remembered you from the blogs. You know, from when you were at Raw, whatever that was, with the Elias Sucks at Guitar thing.
Right.
And I really hope somebody saw that sign, though, and was like, oh, he's there! Yeah. Oh, my God!
I need to go back and watch the pay-per-view, which I plan on doing at some point this week, because I want to hear, because I was watching it, you can hear some of the voices carry over much more than in past, like, WWE events. Because, like, in Detroit, you can kind of hear me scream it. They have, like, a YouTube video posted. You can kind of hear me in the background. But I almost wondered if you can hear, because I was screaming it super loud. The fans in Phoenix, man, the people that they cheer for blew my mind.
Like, it was definitely a little bit of bizarro world.
Yeah,
the way they now granted, I thought this weekend of wrestling was great. NXT was fantastic, as always. The Royal Rumble was good, just a little long.
Oh, it was really long, wasn't it?
I don't know if you felt that in the live crowd, but I thought after the Women's Royal Rumble went, like I showed Amy Monday because she didn't see it on Sunday. I showed her everything leading up to the Women's Royal Rumble, and then when that got done, I was like, yeah, there's 2 more hours of show.
Yeah, oh yeah. After the Women's Royal Rumble, I feel like AJ Styles and Daniel Bryan just kind of totally killed the mood. It was like a mood killer for sure.
And it's unfortunate because they're both such great wrestling talents. Like, I even 5 minutes into the match on Sunday, I'm like, man, I should be really excited about this match because I love both of these guys, but I am spent.
Yeah, no, it totally killed the pace of the show. But the women put on such a hell of a match. The Women's Royal Rumble was highly entertaining.
The Royal Rumble was great.
Both
of the championship matches were definitely fantastic. Yeah. And the Men's Royal Rumble match was nothing to sneeze at either.
Oh, no, it was great.
It was fun times.
Everybody,
and
just
even even Brock Lesnar and Finn Balor.
Yeah, which, I mean, is a disappointing ending.
For sure.
That was a big bummer. But everybody keeps saying, too, they felt like the Men's Royal Rumble, they were speeding along. I disagree because me and my girlfriend felt the same way.
Okay.
And I got my timer out and I started timing it. And it was still 90 seconds.
It was still 90
on
the
dot. Every single wrestler. But once I hit 90 seconds twice, I don't need to do any more research.
Yeah.
I was okay.
Because there have been Royal Rumbles where they'll extend the 90 seconds for specific spots or something like that. I did get the feeling, though, that Women's Royal Rumble was not supposed to be as long as it was.
Yeah. It seemed like it was very long. I also feel like the whole timing of everything was jacked because they said the gates open up at 2. Arizona does not participate in daylight savings time. So they're only 2 hours behind when the rest of the area, I believe, is 3 hours behind. So I feel like there was weird timing issues because even the pre-show started, from what I understood, from what I read, an hour late.
Okay.
So I think everything started like an hour late, and I don't know if that's because of the Arizona thing or what. But then like the Women's Royal Rumble seemed like it was super, super long. I have no idea where I was going with that anymore. I lost my train of thought with that.
Well,
yeah, someone was screwy with the timing.
I go back to our fantasy league that we started a couple of weeks ago, where we all drafted wrestlers. It's on
DropTheBelt.com. Do you still have Elias on your team, by the way, James?
Yes.
He does.
Yes.
He does.
He got me some points, man. He's beating people with guitars.
It cracks.
He's beating people with guitars. He sucks at guitar.
Well,
he can smash it over Jeff Jarrett's head all day.
It cracks me up that you had to take Elias like almost as a I don't want to, but I have to, because I had to do the same thing with Baron Corbin.
Gotcha, yeah.
But you and Erica are just annihilating.
I got a couple of trades pending, too, that I think is going to really put me to the top.
After this week, man, you guys, because, I mean, Erica's got Becky Lynch and Shane McMahon, so that's her big ones.
Oh,
and
man, that Shane McMahon Mismatch. That was
fun.
Yeah.
That was real fun.
Incredible.
And then you got Seth Rollins, Brock Lesnar on there, so you're probably going to want to trade Ember Moon. I heard she's injured.
Her and Cena, I've put I'm on the trade line. I don't know how that works. People have to approve it or not, but
yeah,
I've already put them up for trade.
But yeah, it's a fun little thing. We did it, I think, 2 years ago between. But this one's even more important because we've got Nerd Radio versus the other two wrestling podcasts, top three from Bounce 105 and then Around the Rings, Around the Ropes with Ryan. And you guys are killing it, which is good because I'm second to last.
It's okay. Hey, me and Erica will carry the weight here.
I'm playing the long game, man. I got Daniel Bryan, Dean Ambrose, and AJ Styles.
Dean Ambrose. You better hope he gets some appearances before.
Yeah, no, he's until Mania.
The whole contract
it'll be fine.
Stuff. So
it'll be fine. Oh, I also got Andrade, Cien Almas. So that's the thing I noticed. Was it yesterday during SmackDown? I don't like this thing where if you're a mid-carder, they take away all but your first name.
Oh yeah.
He's Andrade Cien Almas, and they're just like, no, you're just Andrade now.
Yeah, like there's too much for us to say.
Yeah.
You're not that relevant to the show. But other weird thing, we sat next to the actor that plays Oren on Parks and Rec.
What?
If you guys are familiar with that guy,
the real weird guy. Yeah.
That was like
I thought you were joking.
The boyfriend of April.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that was really him.
What?
So I tweeted like a real creepy like tweet because I didn't want to ask the guy because I'm like, he's such a weird character on the show. Like, you know, it'd be like, hey, are you the guy that played Fat Albert?
Yeah.
He was also a skinny guy, so I didn't want to be like, hey, are you the guy that played the real weird guy, the weird boyfriend of Parks and Rec?
Oh, yeah, I see what you're saying. Yes, you know? See what you're saying.
So
like, hey, you remind
like,
me of the weirdo on TV.
Yeah,
and
you
he's
look
like,
just like this really freakish dude.
Yeah, it's like asking a lady if she's pregnant. And
exactly.
She's, oh,
yeah,
so
yeah,
I don't
want to
do that. I'm in a foreign, not a foreign city, but like I'm in a city that's not my home. I don't want to offend anybody that's there. But I'm like, dude, this guy looks just like him. He looks just like him. So I did the creepy, like, to my girlfriend. I'm like, hey, hop in this selfie with me. And I just made sure the
just made sure
picture
just
was
in
more
the
focused
shot
on him. And I tweeted it out. And somebody responded with that it was him. So then I tweeted him and apologized, and he said, hey, next time say hi. So he was cool with it.
Oh, so you didn't get to talk to him at all?
No, he was there, but he really loves Shinsuke.
Shinsuke Nakamura?
Yeah, I can't say his name right. I call him something else, and it's not radio appropriate.
Well, I got you.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, you were bummed that John Cena wasn't there, and I joked earlier that John Cena listened to the podcast. We did have a listener from Thailand last week.
Nice.
So,
well, greetings to Thailand.
John's been over there with working with Jackie Chan.
Yeah, so. Training. That's how we learned that five finger.
That goofy punch.
Yeah, I'm like, John, just cut your hair and just do the attitude adjustment. Don't do that weird punch thing.
He can do that like 1-inch punch as much as he wants. He can't beat Shaggy, as the memes have showed us.
Okay.
Over the last week, Shaggy is all powerful, like Goku. You guys got nothing on it. You have no idea what I'm talking about.
I think you're talking about Dragon Ball Z, but I don't know the other one.
No, there's a meme that's been going around. People have been taking the interview segments from the live-action Scooby-Doo movie.
Okay.
And, like, mixing it with quotes about, like, Super Saiyans from Dragon Ball Z. Shaggy was only using 2% of his power because he would have murdered everybody on set.
Gotcha.
If he used more. So.
I feel like our street cred is well intact, but man, we just lost some nerd cred because you just made this reference and right over our heads.
No, I did it on purpose because now my nerd cred has gone up at your expense. Well. People know that I'm up on the memes and you guys are not.
Yes. No, hey, it works for me.
I've never once in my life tried to impress anybody ever, so
I'm buy comfortable that. I've never tried to impress anybody.
Mm.
Never once.
Have you met me, James?
Come on. I feel like you got to try to impress somebody some ways.
All right, we're going to yeet over to some commercials, and then we're coming back to get this bread. See, I know all the memes.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Pause that game. It's time for more Nerd Radio.
I don't want to see it.
Welcome back. It's Nerd Radio on the podcast page, WRIF.com, wherever you get your podcast, whether it's iTunes, Spotify, or the B-Pod Studios Network, and of course on your HD radio Wednesday nights at 10 p.m. on Riff 2. Chuck Bean hanging out with James and Al Beck on this very chilly Wednesday afternoon. I said at the top of the show, the mail may not deliver wherever you are in the Midwest, but we're here delivering a new episode.
Yeah, I was going to say, also not delivering, but we are here and available here.
We were just talking in the last segment about James had quite the weekend this past weekend. I wanted to tell you, Al, before the weekend started, there's a local game shop that is not GameStop in the area.
Yeah. Okay.
And you had done I'd seen you Friday morning and they were having a special sale on Saturday. And I was like, this is the most complicated sale I have ever heard of in my entire life.
It was complicated.
It was like 30% off PlayStation 4 games as long as they're $30 and under, and 50% off all other disc based games.
Yeah. I do like that place though, 'cause they got some good deals and some good stuff.
Oh, me too. Yeah. Me too. And I made it a point, even with as cold and snowy as it was over the weekend, to go out on Saturday.
I saw you had a little stack. I saw one of them was something I got cheap from that very same store.
I know. I went to the store and I just I did like Black Friday shopping. Yeah. I just walked around the store and started picking up anything I was remotely interested in until I had a pile of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then I budgeted myself and cut a whole bunch of this stack down, but I got a copy of Final Fantasy 15,
which is the one I was referring to,
for the PlayStation 4. I think it was marked like $8, so it was what, $6? Which, all right, woo,
sweet.
I got Kirby's Epic Yarn for the Wii, because I got a Wii, but I only have like 5 games for it.
Sure,
but it's a kind of a fun side scroller, and that was super cheap. I got what were the other games I got? I got the Ninja Turtle, the last Ninja Turtles game that they came out with, which is based on the current comic books.
Okay.
Which is supposed to have...
Oh, nice, because you read those, right?
I did, yeah. I read like the first 50 issues or so. It's interesting. It's a little bit like the last Transformers game they made, where you're pretty much running around the city and beating up foot ninjas until you get your meter up to a certain point, and then you can go fight a boss. And the bosses are... The first level boss is Bebop, and the second level is Rocksteady.
Nice. Got,
yeah.
Oh, I'm glad they got those guys in there, like, right off the top, too.
And you can play online with other people, or you can just control... Like, all four turtles are running around with you. So if you're controlling Leonardo, the other three are running with you and beating up guys. But then you can hold a button and then click over to the other guys while you're fighting.
So you can, like, switch.
Right. Which comes in real handy, because the bosses are real tough. I played it for about a half hour when I got home Saturday, and I still did not beat Bebop. And wow. he's just the first boss.
That's the first boss, huh?
Yeah. But it's neat. It's got kind of a cel-shaded look and everything. I'm looking forward to playing it more. I'm glad I got it. Because there was that game, and there was a Ghostbusters game they made on the PS4 around the time that Answer the Call came out. And I know that Ghoul played it because yeah. he told me it was good, but I've never gotten around to it.
Have you tried the Final Fantasy yet or no?
I have not.
Okay. I was just curious because you're also a Final Fantasy fan.
I am.
And still haven't either, which is not shocking.
That
at
was
all.
The other game is I tried to vary it out to every system I own, and the last game was a PlayStation 3 version of Final Fantasy 13 Lightning Returns, which was like the X2 for Final Fantasy 13.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so, yeah, now my choices are 13 or 15 when I decide to do a Final Fantasy this year.
Right.
Because 13 looks really cool, too, so I've got that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think
13 was one that I did play and ended up getting like the leveling up was like too expansive.
Yeah.
And I didn't end up finishing it and it bummed me out because I was having a great time. But then, you know, God,
yeah,
I did think it was more fun when you had like the real open world. And then starting with Final Fantasy X, it was just like walk down this hallway to your next objective.
Yeah, it was. And just, yeah, it was very linear.
You know, it was less interesting to me.
It's not very RPG-ish to me.
No.
Like if you have set things you have to do.
Right. There's no real role-playing
yeah.
going on.
Yeah.
I also, over the weekend...
if you do get to Final... I'm curious about what you think of it.
A 15?
Yeah.
Did you play... Oh, you said you hadn't played 15.
No, that was the one that I also got super cheap
yep.
from that same store. And I specifically... That one I shelved on purpose because Red Dead Redemption 2 was coming out.
Ah.
And I didn't want to get into Final Fantasy because of the two... Red Dead wins to me.
That's the danger is that I got Final Fantasy 15 and then like right after Christmas I got a copy of Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
So like I want to play both of those but I put them off to the side to try and be like, okay, I got to at least try Red Dead Redemption before I go move on to these games that I know I'm going to love.
Yeah. And James, have you hooked up your PS4 yet?
It's just sitting there, no.
I was going to say.
I was like, I know how you feel because I got Spider-Man just sitting in with the PS4.
I had to bring that up because James just laughed at me for not trying my Final Fantasy yet.
Right, yeah. Right.
Like, have you played your
PS4
yet?
No, I haven't even hooked it up. I haven't done anything. It's just sitting there with a sticky note with L's gamer tag or PSN network name sitting right on it. Just collecting dust.
Yeah.
But I got Fallout 76 that I haven't gotten back into, and I've been playing...
You'll get to that PS4 right in time for the PS8 to come out.
Oh, probably, yeah.
Yeah, I read something this morning about they're already talking about the PlayStation 5.
Really?
What?
Yeah,
no.
They started talking about that right around the time I got the PS4. It's usually what happens.
I think the 4 has been out longer than we may be thinking, though.
I'm sure it has. Yeah, I know that when it comes to new systems, I'm always the late adopter. I give it like a good year before I jump in.
Let the price come down.
A year or two, yeah, but I mean, I got mine years afterwards. So, I'll look it up. You guys continue.
It's just one of those things too. Like how much more can they do?
Oh, I know. What more is there?
The jump between the 3 and the 4 wasn't that expansive.
Mm-hmm.
Like but unless you're going to make it a VR system, and if you make it gimmicky, like you know, the Nintendo has kind of proven with the Wii and stuff that gimmicks don't always sell.
Yeah. Or how about the Virtual Boy? Remember that?
Oh Jesus, yeah. This week also, we last week they released Resident Evil 2, which we talked about with Kenny. Also.
Good.
Also this week was the release of Kingdom Hearts 3. I don't know. Nobody in this room is a... You big Kingdom Hearts?
Not really, no. Mm-hmm. I thought it was cool because it was like a Final Fantasy, but there's like Disney characters involved, right? Yeah. So
yeah,
I always thought it was cool, but
Final
I never
Fantasy,
got
Disney
into
crossover.
It. Yeah.
And I remember playing the first one and I just didn't like the... It wasn't role-playing enough.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was a role-playing game, but it was also like running around smacking stuff too with
gotcha.
Keyblade. And it wasn't enough of either direction.
I think the one big turnoff on that game was I know the guitar player from Good Charlotte was so into it.
Oh, yeah?
And I was so anti-Good Charlotte. I was like, I'm not messing with that.
No, I was talking to Ginger Kyle, GK, who's been on the show all the time. That's his name.
I didn't know that's what the GK... I always wondered.
Ginger Kyle.
I was surprised when he said that was what it stood for, too. It was like, Ginger Kyle? I'm like, that's what it is? I thought it'd be like something else.
I never knew because his Instagram or whatever.
Yeah.
GK, I'm like, well, I know Kyle from work, but what? I never understood. You just dropped it on me.
Yeah, well, there you go. he's a huge
Ginger Kyle at the Yomicon, I believe, right?
Yep. Yeah. He's a huge Ginger Kyle fan. He's a huge Kingdom Hearts fan. So we'll have him on the show after he's gotten a couple weeks.
Awesome. Yeah, I want to hear about it.
Yeah, we can talk about it. But it brings me to something I wanted to ask you, either one of you, but you specifically because you play a lot more games than Al does. Kingdom Hearts 3 is the sequel to a game that came out like 12 years ago.
Okay.
At this point, is there any game that you can think of that you've waited an excessively long amount of period of time, and did it live up to your expectations?
Oh, man.
Because I know for me and Al, Red Dead Redemption 2, mm-hmm. it's been a long time coming.
Yeah.
And I don't know that I've played enough of it, but it doesn't seem like it lived up to expectation.
I don't even know that if I can really pass that judgment or not, because, I mean, I enjoy myself every time I'm playing it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm busy. There's a lot. We do a lot of work here.
So yeah, for sure.
There's real life stuff going on.
Yeah, I don't have as much time to play video games as I used to.
Right.
So, I mean, it's not like I'm having a bad time, but I'm not playing it as much. So does that mean it's not living up to expectations? Not necessarily, but I'm definitely playing it less than I did the first one.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that's it. Like it's the kind of thing that we've waited so long for it that you would think that, like, this is all I'm going to be doing for the next X amount of time. And after the first day or two, I was like,
I'll
put an hour in here, an hour in there, something like that.
And that's what I try to do with most of my games, too.
I'm not completely swallowed up by it and, you know, completely in love with it.
Throw a couple hours at it here or there and work on other things. I'm trying to think of a sequel that I might have waited for, but I think maybe the longest I've waited for a sequel would be Fallout 4 came out.
Yeah.
Because I never played New Vegas.
Okay.
I played 3, and it took me forever to actually play 3.
Yeah.
New Vegas was the first I'd even heard of the Fallout franchise. My brother was a big fan of New Vegas, and I still have never played any of them.
Mm-hmm.
I owned New Vegas, and I think I never played it, and ended up just selling it because after a year of not playing it, I'm like, if I haven't played it by now, I'm not gonna.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And when I had 3, I was just so confused because I'm so used to games. I'm not used to a game where you're just like, go do what you want.
Yeah.
Here, you've escaped the vault. Go do whatever you want.
Right.
So I was like, I don't know where I'm supposed to go. I'm lost.
That's the reason why I'm not big on Bethesda. Is the one that make Fallout and the Elder Scrolls games and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm not big on those games, because I like a roadmap.
Yeah. So I bought a strategy guide, and then once the strategy guide got me past the one point, I was like, this is the greatest game I've ever played in my life.
Yeah.
it was like an obsession. Like, I'd go into work, and the whole day, I'd be sitting there, I'm supposed to be working on graphics and doing my job, and I'm like,
right. All you can think about
is, I can't wait to go explore that.
I can't wait to go see what's over that hill.
Yeah, I can't wait to go check out that city, whatever city you have to go explore.
Right.
I get all the power armor?
The problem you ran into before you found that walkthrough, though, I ran into that problem when I tried to play Skyrim.
Okay, similar. That's a Bethesda too, right?
Yeah.
It's like an old-timey. It's medieval times.
But even you've got an open-world game, like a Grand Theft Auto or Red Dead Redemption.
Right.
But it does, there is sort of, as you said, a roadmap to follow because of, you've only got like 3 different people you can go do the next mission.
And you're not going,
it's not going to move on until you finish all the story that you have to.
Yeah, give me a beacon on a map where it's like, I can dick around, but eventually I'm going to have to go talk to him.
And I'm not going to get things forward to like a level, 7 story until I finish all of level 4 because it's not going to be opened up yet.
Right.
Whereas I was running that with Skyrim where I'm getting creamed, and it finally occurs to me I'm not ready for this.
I'm not supposed to be here.
Yeah, but where am I supposed to go? But they give you all of the options. Like, you can go to this town, this town, this town.
Yeah.
Go!
Yeah.
Whatever.
Because the Zelda game on the Switch is essentially like Zelda / Skyrim.
Yeah.
I've had to grab a walkthrough and a map and stuff like that because I kind of want to explore because it's very pretty, but tell me where I'm supposed to go next. Yeah. Give me a general idea.
And I do not game enough for something like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Some of those games are such an investment of your time and your life. I'm just like, I don't know how. I understand how people can lose themselves in it. And,
Right. For sure.
It is special, though, when you find a game, though, that you're like at work doing your graphics and you're like, oh, man.
I never had that feeling. The last time I had that feeling with a video game was the first time I played Halo 3.
Yeah.
Okay. Because that was the first time I played it online. That's like I tell my buddy, because I was out of games for the longest time. I stopped playing. I'd play Wii here or there. I played Guitar Hero. But I wasn't into games. I didn't have a dedicated game. I was like, I was making fun of my friend. I'm like, dude, you go online and you play against other people? What are you? You nerd.
Nerd.
Yeah. Get a life, man.
Probably a newer concept at the time, too. Online gaming is so...
Yeah,
I didn't
understand how any of it worked or anything. So he's like, dude, just try playing Halo. So I played Halo online. I was like, oh, my God. I killed somebody.
I was like, I shot that dude in the head.
I just killed. I'm like, that was another real person? Yeah. That was another real player? He's like, yeah. I'm like, I'm going to play it again. And then, so then I was like, I was obsessed. I'm like, okay, how can I save up money? You know, working, living paycheck to paycheck. I'm like,
yeah.
I need to save up enough money to get an Xbox 360. I need to get, you know, Halo. I need to get a headset.
Xbox
I need to get
Live.
Everything. Yeah. I got a, at the time, like Wi-Fi and stuff wasn't even a thing.
Yeah.
So I had to buy like 100 feet of, Cat 5 cable or whatever to connect the Xbox and run it upstairs to the router. It was, so that was like Halo 3, Fallout 3, and then now I'm just like, whatever. Yeah, you know?
Right.
I remember trying to get like the early versions of Wi-Fi was so terrible and so unreliable that like even after Wi-Fi was good, I was still running those Ethernet cables like up through the ceiling and around the house. And because
Well, yeah, because the mentality is that if the cable's plugged in, the connection is solid.
Yeah.
Whereas
well,
the Wi-Fi could be off and on. Oh, who knows?
No, because I actually,
I'm lagging. It's the Wi-Fi.
I actually had my PlayStation 3 for a while and my computer in my room. I had the upper floor of a bungalow, you know.
Yeah.
And so there was the router and modem was in the basement, which was below my mother's room. So, which in her door was right next to the mine to go upstairs. So there was a hole in the corner of my mom's bedroom with an Ethernet cable going up it and then out the door around the corner, then up the stairs
it's like
to my bedroom.
It's like you've seen a movie.
It was seriously like 100 feet of cables.
Yeah, no, it was legitimately 100, about 100, a spool of 100 feet of that Cat 5 cable.
I think mine was 100 feet too. I don't think I needed it all, but you know.
Yeah, I threaded it all through the ceiling in the basement because we had the open base.
Ceiling. Like a drop ceiling,
Yeah, threaded it all through there and then it would went up somewhere, up a shaft and it would pop out one of the heating. Like we had a heater vent that was popped open with the cable coming out and plugged into the router.
And that right there, you said 360. So that's the first generation where the Wi-Fi was built into the system, I believe.
Yeah.
At least for the PlayStation.
The later model 360, I think they had that. But the first model, the one that I had, the ones that suffered from the Red Rings of Death.
My 360 that, thank God, knock on whatever this is, not wood, is still working.
It's fake marble.
Yeah, that doesn't have the Wi-Fi in it, but the later ones did. But the PlayStation 3s had Wi-Fis.
Because I remember my having a PS2, and there was an attachment you could buy.
Yes, there was.
That expansion dock on there.
Yeah, because
so you could.
They were competing with the original Xbox, which was literally the first gaming console to be like, hey, let's go online. Let's play Halo.
Yeah.
Speaking of gaming consoles, I did look up the release dates for the
four
PlayStations, so I figured it's a good time to hit it.
Yeah.
So just to satisfy curiosity, the original PlayStation, 1995.
I thought it was way later.
The PlayStation 2 in North America was October 26th of 2000.
Okay.
The PS3 was November 17th of 2006, and the PlayStation 4 in North America has been available since November 15th of 2013.
2013, huh?
Yeah, I guess we are about due for
it.
Like I was saying before, like what else can you do?
So just over 5 years.
No, I'm worried.
Other than charge us $500 friggin' dollars for a new system.
So I was gonna go out and buy that VR, but I'm like, I haven't set up the PS4 yet.
Right.
Why am I gonna get the VR? I just want to play the Rick and Morty, the VR game.
Is that what it is? You gotta play if you're gonna get a VR set, you gotta play Beat Saber.
Here's the thing.
That's the lightsaber rhythm game.
Oh really?
Yeah, have you not seen it?
I have not seen
it. Yeah, it's one of like the big cool VR games.
Like a glow stick,
rave
dancer.
Well, yeah, one of your left hand is like a blue lightsaber, and your right hand is a red lightsaber.
Uh-huh.
And these boxes come at you.
Okay,
and it's in time with this like techno music, and you're like, boof,
it's gonna help teach me how to dance.
Boof, it's gonna help you be a lightsaber.
Okay,
freaking crazy man.
I need to learn how to dance too. So if you guys have any game recommendations or dance moves, I'd like to.
Just learn them Fortnite dances.
I will.
Those are some of the dances I want to learn. Everybody's doing them.
There's a good chance I might end up with that VR because I still really want to play Bridge Crew with the VR setup.
That's got to be amazing.
It's a Star Trek.
Bridges? Oh, okay.
Star Trek one.
Yeah, you can be on the bridge.
You can play it with the controller, and I had a lot of fun doing that. Mm-hmm. And the mistake I made was look up a YouTube video of like, all right, let's get some game footage. What does it look like to do it in VR? And watching just the guy sit there move his fingers around, I was like, oh my God, I can be the captain.
Yeah.
I have my own spaceship.
Oh my God, do I have $300 to spend on that? No.
Give me that golden uniform.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you a question because you said Halo 4 probably, or is it 4?
Halo 3.
Talking about? 3.
Yeah.
Halo 3 is probably the most sucked into a game you've gotten.
Yeah.
Do you have, Chuck, Like, do you have a game like that? Like, if you were to pick one game, like, this is the most in-depth I've ever been with a video game.
Oh, I have a list of games that, like, that's it's kind of like...
Or it's sort of like you obsess with it.
Well, it's what you're always chasing if you play video games on a constant basis. You're chasing, like a drug... drug addict, you're chasing that. Where's that next game that's going to swallow up my life like the last one did?
Yeah.
The last one I can think of is probably there was a summer where I alternated between the original Red Dead Redemption and the second Transformers game, was War for Cybertron.
Yeah.
Because the online for that was a little bit like Call of Duty but it was a small pool that I could be a big fish in. Because once all the Call of Duty people played it for like a week or two, they just went back to Call of Duty.
Sure. Yeah.
You're like, Optimus Prime is here, bitches!
Yeah! But yeah, there was the first SmackDown on the original PlayStation.
Yeah.
Like, that was...
I had that game. That was fun.
That was one of the first games. That was kind of one of my entrance back into WWE wrestling.
And see, I was watching wrestling at that time, too, so I was super into that game.
It must have came out after the Raw one, because I think I had Raw's War.
Yeah, probably.
WWE, or maybe it was WWE Attitude.
Maybe.
But yeah, you talk about chasing the video game. I'm still trying to chase the same feeling I had from The Legend of Zelda.
Yeah.
Really? The Legend of Zelda.
Like
and the
original Legend. The original Legend of Zelda, yeah.
Like, I wish I could get those feelings. You know? I think they're gone. It's
that
dull
tingly feeling
now.
Chasing
that.
Mine was Empire Earth. It was a computer game. And
we did talk about that. Yeah,
it
was kind
of
a strategy game.
I've talked about it on the show before. Yeah, it was a live-action strategy game, and specifically my brother and I, and again, this is back when Wi-Fi wasn't a thing, mm-hmm. so we had to be on the same network and, from two rooms, it had to be local. You couldn't do it over the internet.
Running more cables through mom's house.
Yeah, that's right. and we decided to go against the computer, and we put it on hard. And it was like we ended up having to like go Douglas MacArthur and Island Hop to beat the computer. But I mean, we spent days on this.
Yeah.
And we would dream about this game and at dinner
to
we would
strategize.
We would discuss it at dinner, like, all right, okay, well, here's what we're gonna do. You need to set up, airfields here, and here so that you can bring in the nuclear bombs and then I'll come in with the robot army and like
army.
Oh my
that.
God. Yeah. No, dude. And wow. I have not found any, that game won't play on any of my current computers.
Yeah.
It's too old. They haven't like re-released it. They did come out with a 2 and a 3 Empire Earth. They both sucked.
Yeah.
Like,
they're not as fun.
That's the thing I've been chasing ever since we played that game.
Man, chasing the dragon.
Yeah. No, the first SmackDown, I got it used from the anime store that I was working at because we had some video games there.
Oh, right, yeah.
And I sat down with it on a Wednesday night or something like that. I think I'd seen 2 episodes of SmackDown at that point. And I'm like, this wrestling's kind of cool again. I don't know. But I sat down with it at 8 o'clock at night, and the next time I looked at the clock, it was 2 in the morning.
Yeah.
What?
Oh, yeah.
This game is great.
Like, I'm a king of the ring.
I didn't even realize it. I've been playing it this long. That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's my benchmark. Like, if I can lose time playing a game, it must be good.
No, I got yelled at a lot because of Empire Earth. As we were doing this, my brother was over the age of 18 and could stay up as late as he wanted.
But
I was not.
Oh, you had to go
so
to
I'd
bed.
Be down there, yeah. My dad, we'd be playing and we'd hear him moving upstairs. He's just sitting quiet. And he won't hear us. But every so often, at the top of the stairs, here, now! Okay, Kevin, I gotta go. That was it. Just the one now. And I'd walk up and he would watch me walk to my room.
Yep.
Like, Dad, I'm trying to take over the earth.
Yeah, he loved that game too. That's the real bitch about the whole thing.
Yeah,
we'd go down there, he'd be playing it too.
All right, well, we're going to take one more break before we come back. A little bit of comic book talk to end out this week's Nerd Radio. So stay tuned.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
I'm Tony Maiello, and you're listening to Nerd Radio.
Truly, you have a dizzying intellect.
Wait till I get going!
Where was I?
All right, welcome back to some more Nerd Radio on the podcast page, WRF.com, all over the B-Pod Studios Network. It is Chuck Bean, James, and Al Beck hanging out with you tonight. And me and Al, big comic fans. James, comic fan. But
yeah, I would say casual.
Yeah, casual comic fan, not a heavy comic reader.
For throwing a shout out to WRF.com, also available at alt929boston.com as
That's
well.
That's right, I forgot about that. Yeah, so make sure you check it out. What is alt929?
Boston.com.
Yeah. There you go. fantastic. I was going to say in the last segment over the weekend, I played a bunch of video games, but I also checked out the graphic novel that is the first five issues of the current Hulk series, the Immortal Hulk.
Oh, sure. Who's writing that?
Al Ewing.
Oh, I like Al Ewing.
Do you?
Yes.
Because he's a name that like I've heard before, but I don't know what he's
done.
He was
the one, we've talked about him before, he was the one, Garth Ennis had Jennifer Blood.
Yes.
And he did a six-issue story arc, and then someone took over. Al Ewing took over. And you know, you and I are both Garth Ennis kind of hit and miss, but when he hits good.
Yes.
And this was, I thought Jennifer Blood was a great book, and that was Ennis on, and didn't miss a beat when Al Ewing took over. Like, it was like Ennis was still writing the book.
Right.
And so I read that to the end, but yeah, I like Al Ewing, yeah.
Yeah, so he's writing the current Hulk book. It's called The Immortal Hulk. It takes place, obviously, after the Civil War II, when Hawkeye shot him with an arrow and was supposed to have killed Bruce Banner.
Sure.
And then later on in The Uncanny Avengers, the Hand brought the Hulk back. And they had to...
The hand, the foot, the face, whatever.
Yeah, whatever. So this
lots
takes
of body
place...
Parts.
Lots of body parts.
This kind of goes back to basics with the Hulk in that he is... Bruce Banner is just kind of wandering the countryside and nobody knows he's alive when it starts. And then when the sun goes down, he turns into the Hulk.
So now he's like a werewolf.
A little bit.
Okay.
Yeah. The first issue is interesting because Bruce Banner is in a... he's in like a gas station... a convenience store or something like that, and this girl walks in the convenience store, and she's next to him. She's like, you look real familiar. He's like, no, I don't know you, whatever. He pulls his ball cap down, whatever like that. And then this dude walks in with a gun and tries to rob the place and panics and shoots the girl and then shoots Bruce Banner and kills them both.
Whoa!
Fast forward to later on, the cops come, and they take the bodies, and they take them to the morgue or something like that, and that night, the Hulk resurrects the body of Bruce Banner and busts out of the morgue, and then goes and finds the guy who shot him and cripples him.
Ooh.
It's like they took the Hulk and they combined it with like a werewolf story.
Yeah,
and then they
bit.
Put it in the Renegade starring Lorenzo Lamas like story arc.
It's true. Right.
Like he's like a bounty hunter, I believe. So.
Well, that's the first issue, and that's kind of sets the theme for how this book works. This book is a horror book.
Really?
Yeah, and it's like that was one of the things I wanted to check into it for because I've been told like in the current storyline is called Hulk Goes to Hell.
Okay.
Which is kind of interesting, but there's this overarching story that I wouldn't want to spoil for anybody that might want to check it out. But I don't know if you remember, I think it was about a year ago when I first discovered Tom King doing the Vision book, and I jumped in a little bit late.
Yeah.
It feels like that all over again. Like,
I didn't remember it was Tom King doing that.
Hulk is already up to 11 or issue 11 or 12, and I feel like I need to be buying this book.
Okay.
Because
then you got the first few trades. So are you basically caught up to current or like
no,
as far as having the issues?
I read the first five issues because it was the first trade.
Gotcha,
like I don't
okay,
even know
gotcha.
That the second trade exists yet.
Sure.
But I feel like I definitely need to scour the comic book the comic book stores and maybe Astronomicon, which is a week or two from now.
Coming
there'll be some comic book
weeks.
Dealers there.
You could also are you gonna start picking up the single issues and just kinda shelve it until you get caught up on the trades?
Yeah, I might.
I did that when I was coming up from behind on Walking Dead.
Yeah.
You know, I started to buy the single issues when I was getting close.
Right.
And I knew, like, okay, well, trade number or whatever is going to come out, and that'll bring me up to this issue. So, all right, put this on my pull list. And then I only had to, you know, it was only like a couple months before I got caught up.
But. I know this is going to sound like absolute madness to you, but when I started collecting Uncanny X-Men.
Oh, don't do it. I know where you're going with this.
I would just read them when I got them.
No, I knew that's what you were going to say.
It didn't matter because I would get like issue 267, issue 275, 276,
oh,
and 289. All out of order.
That's
and I'd
madness.
Be like. I just bought
Thank
them. I gotta read them.
A comic guy. That's madness.
I gotta read them. I'll just take it for granted. Whatever they say happened, and then when I get the issues that go in between, then I'll just read them again.
It's like living the story in like a dream sequence. Like random, you know. Like I had this weird dream of the Hulk, and you were there, you know, and somebody was dead.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's utter madness.
Yeah, I can't do that. Now, like I understand the fact that all right, you know what I guess I haven't been reading this Hulk book, so I got to start in the middle somewhere. Like, I get that. You know, like, if there's, you know, what, like, there's 1,000 Detective Comics.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you got to jump in somewhere, so that I can deal with. But just going sporadic? Nah, I can't. I can't do that.
Well, I'll definitely check back in with you on this Hulk book when I've read up to current.
Yeah.
But just on the basis of that first trade paperback, I recommend it. Well, if you're looking for a horror book, Hulk's not a character I care about.
Yeah.
Like, ever.
Yeah, see, that's the thing, too, is, like, Al Ewing, as much as I like him, he's not necessarily a guy like Jeff Johns or Mark Millar where I right. show up for them no matter what they're writing. Like Shazam, for example. Like, I didn't even realize that, you know, Jeff Johns. so far behind, I all of a sudden see this, like, Shazam advertisement. I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever. I don't really care. Like, oh, Jeff Johns is writing it. And when did this book come out? November? Holy crap, it's January. Chuck, do you have this? But, like, I'll show up for them. Al Ewing, I don't necessarily show up for, but I'm really happy when he writes something for me. Like, I'm not into the Hulk, so I probably won't read it, even though I like the writer.
I don't know that it's going to turn into much like Tom King, a writer where all of a sudden I got to collect everything he's ever done.
Right.
But I feel like he is firing on all cylinders on this Hulk book.
Sure.
So does the Hulk turn back into Bruce Banner?
When
the daylight comes?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, gotcha. Absolutely.
I was curious about that. Or is he now just permanently the Hulk?
No, he'll turn into the Hulk during the nighttime, and then he'll wake up the next day. You know, like you said, almost like a werewolf.
Yeah.
Which, if I remember correctly, originally the Hulk might have been something like that, like in older issues.
Right.
Where the Hulk came out earlier in the day.
Yeah, just when he's angry.
Right. A couple of things that are coming out in the comic store today that I wanted to mention. Actually, Ghoul, longtime listener of the show, has been on the show a couple times, sent me a text because I didn't buy this. They reprinted, I showed you this, Al.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They reprinted Uncanny X-Men issue that Jim Lee did with Captain America and Black Widow in it in 3D.
Nice.
And it comes with 3D glasses that the cardboard and 3D glasses look like Cyclops visor, and it makes me laugh.
Cool.
It's an $8 book, so I don't know if I'm going to be spending $8. But I'll tell you what, if there are two gimmicks I loved when they were doing gimmicks of stuff, it's stuff in 3D and stuff that glows in the dark.
Dude, I'm with you on both of those things.
I love stuff that glows in the dark.
Here's what I'm going to say to you, Chuck, as I know it's an $8 book.
It's true.
Get it, because it's X-Men, and it's the gimmicks that you like, and it's...
I already own this issue.
Is it in 3D?
Not in 3D. It's true.
You can almost feel like you can reach out and touch Cap's shield. It's in 3D.
Chuck, you'll end up hunting it down if you don't get it.
Yeah, you're probably
be paying
right.
more.
You're probably right.
Chuck, you have my credit card info at the comic store. Buy it. Buy that book on me. I'm not even joking.
Oh,
I'm not kidding.
Thanks.
Buy that book on me for you.
All right.
Do it. All right.
All right.
This part of the Nerd Radio podcast has been redacted for legal purposes.
What you should do is just write different things like...
Jeez, I hope there's no police officers listening to Nerd Radio. I'm gonna...
There is! Oh, my God! Remember my buddy?
Yeah.
Yeah, the whole Harry Potter. Yeah, he's a cop.
You just gave him some low-hanging fruit for if he needs a, you know...
He needs a quick bust.
Right.
I got a hot lead on a, an identity theft.
Some identity theft going on.
Yeah. You drive through his jurisdiction on your way home, too.
The great comic book identity theft case of 2019.
Well, apparently this may be one of the last Nerd Radios as I'm on my way to jail.
Next week, tune in for just me and James.
Yeah. I'm on my way to jail.
Hopefully somebody should upload it and edit it, because I'm not doing it.
All right, so this is coming out this week, too. The Age of X-Men is a crossover that they're doing after now that Uncanny X-Men is over. It's kind of a weekly book, honestly, but it's the Age of Apocalypse taken in the reverse direction. Remember when they did the big Age of Apocalypse crossover back in the 90s where they canceled all the X-Men books, and then for like 3 months it was all these weird versions of the X-Men characters from the Age of Apocalypse, where Apocalypse won because Xavier didn't exist anymore. Well, at the end of the Uncanny X-Men book, Nate Gray, who was X-Man, who was Cable from the Age of Apocalypse, wipes out all the X-Men who were fighting him, and now they all wake up here in the Age of X-Men, where instead of it being Apocalypse won and the world is a dystopia and terrible, it's not that Apocalypse won, but everyone's a mutant. Everyone's a mutant.
Okay.
And everyone gets along. And it's a peaceful thing, but there's little cracks in the side. You can see even in this first one shot, there's little cracks in the Utopia. And it's going to be a bunch of miniseries over the next couple of months. And each issue of this miniseries, they even show you in the back of this, like next week is Marvelous X-Men number one. The week after that is a book called Next Gen, which is the kids at the school. So at first I was like, I don't need this. Whatever. And now that I've read it, I'm like, I need this. So they wrote me in. This book, however, this is the last thing I want to mention before we take off here on Nerd Radio. This is an Image book that came out a couple of weeks ago, and a friend of mine, Dave Lucina, who I believe listened to the show, how you doing, Dave, clued me into this. It's called Gunning for Hits, Music Thriller.
Okay.
You notice right from the get-go, right from the cover, the logo, Gunning for Hits, looks like the old compact disc logo.
Oh, yeah, it does,
which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
It takes place in the early 90s, and it's about a guy who used to kill people for the mob and is now an A&R rep for a music
That's an interesting take.
Right. It's written by a guy who used to actually be an A&R rep for a record company.
Oh, you think he loved his job?
Is the cover supposed to be David Bowie?
I think it's supposed to be. Okay. Yeah, it's supposed to be a Bowie homage.
That's funny.
But the first issue there gives you, like, he's going back and forth with this dude and his girlfriend who just played a show and won a record deal. And she's asking for all this outlandish stuff, and he's agreeing to it. And then there's these pages in between where he's explaining, I'm agreeing to it because this is how the record industry works. So it's an interesting book if you're remotely interested in the recording industry. I don't know how much of that is, you know, real. But then at the end of the book, he reveals that, you know, hey, I used to kill people too. So it'll be interesting to see where it goes. Another cool Image comic there.
Yeah. I used to kill people, now I sell songs to radio stations.
Sounds a little bit like that Barry show on HBO with Bill Hader.
Yep.
Where he's like a hitman. And then he ends up in an improv class, and he discovers that he loves improv.
Henry Winkler's in that, right?
Henry Winkler's in it.
Yeah, that's right. That was a weird one.
It was weird. It wasn't. I thought it was going to be funnier than it is. It definitely has some funny moments.
Dark too.
It's a really dark. It's a really dark comedy. But I thought it was a good show. I liked Barry. The problem was that I found it's on at least the last season. It was on at the same time as Silicon Valley.
Okay.
And Silicon Valley would come on first, then Barry. And I found out I had to watch them in the other order because I would watch Silicon Valley and laugh my ass off and then watch Barry, and it was a little too dark. So I had to watch Barry first. Yeah, exactly.
You needed a chaser.
Yeah, exactly. Barry. Yeah.
I like that. You needed a chaser.
Yeah.
It's like Requiem for a Dream. Yeah. I always recommend to people watching Requiem for a Dream, have some cartoons on hand. Yeah, that movie is over. Man.
Great movie, you but goddamn.
Amazing movie, but you're going to need a chaser.
Absolutely.
That movie is a downer. Well,
going butt to butt. That's what I always say. Anytime you bring up Requiem for a Dream, I just think of that scene.
Yep.
Go butt to butt.
Yep.
Well, guys, we've filled our hour.
Yes,
here on Nerd Radio. So,
we sure have.
That was a fast hour.
Thank you guys for tuning in. As always, rate us on iTunes and give us a review. Make sure you're hitting us up on all our social media at Nerd Radio 101. And come on back next week, man. We'll be talking some more Nerd Radio. You guys have anything to say? Anything to add on the way out the door?
You really put me on the spot. No, I have nothing.
Yeah, I have nothing prepared. Sorry.
Fair enough.
I have nothing prepared. No comment.
Nerd Radio returns next week.
I'm in a difficult situation here. I mean, after all, you're nerds.
Nobody asked you, Kevin!
Have a great weekend!
Golden Radio.
I know!
See you later, nerds.
And we're out!
You guys are a bunch of idiots.
Thanks, Ann!
Okay. Oh, you want to do it one more time?
Yeah, give me one more.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.